That went mighty fast. We can do that again, amen. Hey, folks. Hey, look, y'all got a smile. It was just an offering, amen. God only, we ought to be smiling when we give our tithes.
Amen.
Seriously. I mean, if God gives you 100, he only asks for 10. Now think about that. Put that into perspective. I don't know about you, but I'll do that all day. I mean, you come give me 100 and I'll give you 10 back. I'll do that all day long. You know, that's all God's asking for. He's only asking for 10% for a tithe. So we ought to be smiling when we put that 10% in the offering plate. Amen?
Amen.
And so it'll be coming right back around here in just a little bit. So, okay, so if you missed it this time, you'll be able to get it in next time. Amen? So if you missed it, I saw some of you fumbling for your purses. I saw you. And the plate went by while you were still fumbling, but it's going to come back here in just a little bit. Okay, so you go ahead and get it out now. You're not going to listen to me anyways. So you go ahead and get it out now, amen? We'll get that part straightened out, right? All right, I'm just messing with you a little bit this morning, but hey, God gives it to us so we can give it back for his glory, amen? Souls need to be saved. And I'm going to share something with you this morning. I think I mentioned this yesterday in Senior Patriots, but that's okay. I'm going to mention it again. Do any of you ever get those annoying phone calls where somebody's trying to sell you something? You don't get any of those, do you? No, me neither. Several hundred a day, it seems like sometimes. Your phone just it won't stop, will it? Sometimes you just want to cut it off. That's what I want to do. I want to just cut it off, but I can't do that. So, and these people have learned, I don't know how they do it, but they've learned how to piggyback onto your phone number. So if I used to just block all those numbers. So now if I block them, I might be blocking you, so you can no longer call me. So I can't block the numbers. So I'm forced to have to take these calls. So let me tell you what I did. And this is something that you can do. It happened to be my wife's birthday. So it gave me a real good excuse to talk to people. So every time I answered the phone, as soon as I found out it was a telemarketer, the first thing I said was, "You won't believe what happened to me." Now, I didn't give them a chance to talk. I just started talking. You know, it's my wife's birthday. I've been married 40 years. I forgot. Can you? And you can hear them on the other side. Like, "You forgot after 40 years?" No, I didn't. But they don't know that. So I told them I forgot. And so I just started telling them about all my problems. And then I heard one of them, she said, "Well, bless God. I said, I'm glad you mentioned that. Do you know Jesus?" And I witnessed to her on the telephone. She was in California, and she got saved.
Amen.
Amen. And she wrote down the date, and she wanted the scriptures out of Romans that I gave her. She wrote down all the scriptures, and I told her to read the book of John and Romans. So, folks, you can take all these telemarketers, you can take all these phone calls that are annoying and turn them into good for the glory of God. Amen? And two times I had one that got saved, and I had another that she was on the verge of accepting Christ, but she said she had to go. She couldn't pray the prayer, sinner's prayer. So, but she planted the seed. So just take, being how they're going to waste my time, I'm gonna get a few punches in, amen, for the Lord. And that's kind of what I want to talk to you about this morning. So open your Bibles to the book of Jude. Some of you already know where we're going, right? Go to the book of Jude. And basically what we're going to talk about is contending for the faith. Contending for the faith. There's many, many ways that we can contend for the faith. And unfortunately, there's not enough of us that's contending for the faith. And so I just want to look at a little bit of what the book of Jude says. That's next to the last book in the Bible, right before you get to Revelations. Okay? And we're going to Revelations here in a few minutes if we get there, all right? Verse 1, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. So now I want to clarify a few things. It says sanctified. So sanctified, defined, means to be made holy. And it's important that we understand this because we want to understand who Jude is talking to. Okay? Now, at the time that this was written, he was talking to a group of Christians and which we'll come to that here in just a little bit. But he was talking to a group of Christians that is allowing things to happen in the church that should not be happening, okay? So that's why he wrote this letter. But it also pertains to you and I when we see who this group of people is he's writing to. So we know that he's writing to the sanctified. It says the definition of that is to be made holy or to be made free of sin. So when we're talking about the sanctified, he's talking about those that are made holy. Okay? In John 17:11, it says, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep thou thy own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one." And in John 17:12, it says, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou givest me, I keep, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled." Now, I read those two verses to you just to point out who he is talking to. It's important that we understand that. Okay, and then we come on. Then we come down to preserved. And preserved is preserved in Jesus Christ. Now, what does it mean to be preserved? I mean, you've heard people talk about canning, right? We can peaches. Preacher likes figs, right? So we can or preserve figs. What does it mean to preserve them? It means we want to be able to keep them, correct? We want to take something and preserve it for the future so that it will last. So that's what he's talking about, preserve. So now we know that he's talking about sanctified and preserved. So something that's made holy and preserved. And if I read a verse to you out of 1 Peter 1:5, it says, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." That's pretty far off, amen? So that's talking about preserving something. In John 10:28, it says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." In John 10:29, it says, "My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." So that's being preserved. Now, I want to point out something to you in those two verses that I read. In verse 28, Jesus is saying that no man can pluck them out of his hand, right? But what did he say in 29? My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them what? Out of my Father's hand. Wait a minute. I thought we was in Jesus' hand, right? But now it says it's in the Father's hand. And what does John 1:1 say? "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was what? God." So there goes the old thing that Jesus is not God. Amen. That's not our lesson this morning. That didn't cost you a dime. I just threw that in there because I saw that. All right. And also the third thing we see here in verse 1 is called. So who is called? I'm going to read a couple verses to you. 1 Corinthians 1:2, it says, "Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified," which means to be made holy, or born again, or saved, right? "In Christ Jesus, called to be saints." So who's he talking to now? And in Romans 1:7, "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." And in Romans 9:24, "Even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles." So now I said all that to say this. Who is he speaking to? Because most people, when they read this verse, they'll say, well, he's talking to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved unto Jesus Christ and called. So when they get to that "and called" part, they say, oh, they're talking about you, preacher. That's what people do. No, he's talking to you. He's talking to you and me. If you're here today and you're sanctified, which means to be made holy, and you're preserved in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're called. You understand what my point here? You understand what I'm saying? We're talking about God's chosen people. We're talking about God's saved. The people that are born again believers, Jew and Gentile. There's no respecter of persons. We're talking about all of God's called people. So if you're a born again believer, then you're called of God. And some people say, well, I don't know about that. Well, how about Matthew 28:19? The Great Commission. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That's for everybody. That's for every believer. So we are all called, correct? And I want to make a point here, because I want you to understand that Jude, when he's writing this, to us. It's to all the believers, not just one group of people. It's to every believer, you and I alike, whether you're a preacher or whether you're just a everyday churchgoer. He's talking to you. Now I'm going to read on verse 2. Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Now right here it says mercy. Think about it. What's the first thing that you receive from God? Mercy. God's grace. Amen? So while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's God's mercy. That's his grace. That, the amazing grace. I love that's to me, that is the sweetest song in the whole world. God's amazing grace. Amen. It is by his grace and his mercy that I've attained salvation. So that's what Jude is, that's the point Jude's making here. Mercy. Then he says peace. How do we receive peace? There's no peace without Jesus Christ, is there? So because of God's mercy and because of God's grace, I have now received the peace. Amen? That's where peace comes from. Then it says, love be multiplied. May God grow in us. Amen? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So once we receive God's mercy, we get peace and we begin to grow in the Lord. Amen? God begins to grow in each and every one of us. And that's important, because we're not supposed to just get saved and then come in here and sit on the bench. Well, that's not what God has for. That's not God's plan. See, we need to read the book to see what God's plan is. And his plan is not for us to just come in here and smile every Sunday morning, or come in here and sleep, or whatever it is that we do. That's not just God's plan. We come to Sunday school. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but do you know why we come to Sunday school? Have you ever asked yourself, why do you come to Sunday school? Why do you come to church? See, we come, you know, the church is not for the lost people. You understand that? That's not what the church is for. Who is the church? God's people. That's the church. The church is not the building. The church is the people. And as God's people gathering themselves together, we do that on Sunday morning, we do that on Sunday night, and we do that on Wednesday night, and sometimes we do that other nights during the week. But we come here, we're supposed to be coming here on Sunday mornings to Sunday school to be fed. We feed ourselves all week long physically. We physically feed our bodies 3, 4, 5 times a day, some of us. Now, I've seen some on that ship a week or so ago, they feed themselves 7, 8 times a day. Okay, so we're feeding the flesh, and our souls are starving. That's why we come to Sunday school. We come to Sunday school for the preacher to give us something out of God's word to feed us. We need, well, how's that old song? You read the Bible, you grow, grow, grow. If you neglect to read it, you shrink, shrink, shrink. And that's the truth. And the more of God's word that we put into us, and we're commanded to put in God's word. And so when we put God's word into our lives, we grow. So we'll grow in the Lord, which is what he's talking about here. We'll grow. And that's what we come to church for. We come to church. Hey, I love it when a preacher gets up and gets ripping on sin. I mean, some people act like they want to stomp out the door and get mad. That's all right. Let them go. I love it when the preacher's up here ripping on sin. You know why? It reminds me of where I was or where I could be. You understand what I'm saying? It's to just like the song she was just singing, A Sinner Saved by Grace. So when the preacher's up here ripping on sin, should it be stepping on my toes? It should be. Because if we're in here today and you're without sin, we'll walk on down to the lake. I won't see you cross it. We're all sinners saved by grace. So when he's up here ripping on sin, I love it. Because it reminds me, hey, look, that's me he's talking about. That's me. I'm that wretched sinner that he's talking about. The Bible teaches me that if I've broken the least of God's commandments, I've broken what? All of them. So I'm just as wretched and miserable as any man walking. So when I get up there preaching on that, it blesses my soul to know that God has saved me from that. Amen. What a blessing that is. And this is what the church is for. Now, do we welcome in outsiders, lost people? Yes, we do. Praise God. I can't think of a better place for a drug addict to be than in God's house. How about a drunk? How about a whoremonger? I can't think of any place better for them to be than in God's house. Having an opportunity to hear God's side of things. Hearing the glory of the gospel that can save them just like it saved us. Just like that telemarketer that I had a chance to lead to the Lord. That's a soul that's going to heaven instead of hell. And they're God's creation. And we should feel that way about every single person. So I said all that, and I'm trying to get to something here. Let's look at let's go to verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now here he's talking about diligently. Folks, what's he mean diligently? It meant it was very important to him. It was urgent to him. He needed to focus on this one thing. He was diligent in making sure that he presented everything that he needed to present at this time to who he was speaking to. And then he goes on to say, write unto you of the common salvation. Common salvation. What's he mean by common salvation? I think I said it a few moments ago up there. We're all saved the same way. Amen. Every one of us, Jew or Greek, it matters not. We're all saved the exact same way. We all saved by believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You have people that seem to think that their works or the things that they do, and this continues on and on. No matter how much you teach, no matter how much you preach, no matter what you do, people want to try to put themselves in the place of having something to do with their salvation. It's not about us. It's about the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to read some verses to you. And the reason I want to point these verses out is because when he's talking about faith, we need to understand, what is faith? What is faith? Let me read some verses to you. Romans 10:8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. So that's what we preach. What do we preach? We preach Jesus. Amen. We preach Jesus. That's what we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And that's Romans 8, 9, and 10. But that's talking about the faith that we're talking. That's the faith that Jude is talking about here. We're talking about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about the faith, the saving faith. So now he's talking about contending for the faith. He said we should earnestly contend for the faith. Let me ask you something. Do you earnestly contend for the faith? I want you to ask yourself that. Do you earnestly contend for the faith? And I'm going to tell you why that stuck out to me when I read that. We have a wonderful country that God has given us. Amen. And many men died contending for the faith. This country wasn't raised by a bunch of pilgrims who loved America. This country was raised by a bunch of pilgrims who loved God. Amen. It was this book and the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's this same faith right here that Jude is talking about. It's this very same faith that allowed you and I to be in this country today. They contended for the faith. How about the apostles? Did they contend for the faith? They gave their lives, didn't they? How about Moses? You know, all through the Bible, we see men who contended for the faith. So let me ask you, do you contend for the faith? Folks, we got a country that God has given us that we're about to lose. Why are we about to lose that country? Because we come in here on Sunday mornings, amen, and go home. That's why we're losing the country. We come in here on Sunday night or Wednesday night, a few amens, hallelujahs, sing a song, and we go home. Remember, Brother Boyd was just talking about, I believe it was Cracker Barrel. He was talking about they took a stand against homosexuality. And they got one letter saying, praise God, we appreciate your stand. But they had a bunch of letters opposing it. Now think about that. Put that into perspective. He had one letter out of all of us, out of all the Christians across the world. He had one letter. They got one letter. Is that contending for the faith? Let me ask you a question. We have President Donald Trump. God bless him. You know, whether you like him or not, it's immaterial. He's our president, and he's trying to do that which is right for this country. Okay? And I've heard somebody say, well, yeah, well, he said a few bad words. Well, how many of you said? Okay? How many of you said? You know, what did Jesus say? Let him without sin cast the first stone? Now, I'm not saying that we support that, because we don't. We condone that. But at the same time, we got to use a little bit of common sense. Okay? Look at the other side of the fence, what's over there. We've got a president that I'm sure right now he feels like he's standing alone. How many letters do you think he received last week telling him that he's doing a good job? Amen. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Everybody should. You're right. Because each and every one of us are Americans. And we love this country. And folks, if we don't do what Jude is talking about, if we don't start contending for the faith, not only are we going to lose this country, we're going to lose our churches. All across America today, churches are closing down by the hundreds every year. Why are they closing? This is what people do. They go to church. They put $2 or $3 in the offering plate. And we were just talking a few moments ago about tithing. God only asked for 10%. And they'll put $1.50 in the offering plate. And then they say, well, I don't know why their preacher's leaving. Well, a preacher can't live on $12 a week. Okay? You know, and I'm not saying you don't tithe. I'm not saying that. Because God has blessed us. We got a good church. We got good tithers here. But I'm talking about in general. Churches all across the country, all around the world. People, if we want to contend for the faith, we have to be tithers. If we're not tithers, how can we say we're contending for the faith? Okay? How about our Christian walk? How about our testimonies? Every day of your life, every morning when you get up, boy, that's a rough looking crowd. I can only imagine what you look like when you first get up. Every morning when you get up and you start your day, the moment you walk out that door, you're presenting your testimony to the world. Now, I don't know about you, but I have some days I don't feel like being a Christian. You know, that's the truth. I mean, have you ever looked at somebody and just, you know what I'm saying? You just, that's reality, isn't it? I mean, we all have problems. But our testimony is one way of contending for the faith. You understand the way you dress is contending for the faith. You're making a statement. You know, you hear people all the time say, well, you can't judge somebody. Well, sorry about your luck, because we all do it. And people can say whatever they want to say, but when they look at you, they judge you. Okay? And that's the truth. They look at your attitude. They look at your dress. I've said this 100 times. You go to Walmart and let 3 college girls come walking across the parking lot and into the door. You know what you'll hear? You'll hear people whispering, those ladies, they're from Landmark. Amen. That's what they say. And, you know, your response should be, bless God, amen, glad to hear that, right? That's not my response. My response is, that's sad. That's right. Why is that sad? Because it should not be that those girls are from Landmark. It should be those ladies are Christians. They should not know what church they come from. Why should it matter whether they're from a church down the street, two blocks away, a state away, or Landmark? Because if we were contending for the faith in all earnesty, they would all be dressed the same, like young ladies. Folks, and this is what we hear all the time, but that really doesn't matter. It does matter. Look at our nation. Look at what's going on. Open your eyes to what's going on around the country. Why is it this way? Why is it the way it is? Because we as Christians aren't contending for the faith. We're not standing on the true values and principles that we claim that we have. How about the Bibles in school? Why do we not have Bibles in school? You know why? Because we as believers didn't contend for the faith. Amen. The greatest book ever given to man is the Holy Bible. And we, rather than contending, rather than standing up and saying, no, we insist that we have this in school. Instead, we sat. We didn't contend. Now, we like to blame everything on the other party, or we like to blame everything on the heathen. We like to blame everything. We're just all the way back to the garden. We're still pointing, aren't we?
Amen.
No. It's us. We're not doing, obeying what God is telling us to do. When we can't raise our families correctly, and they go out into the world, and they do the things that are incorrect, whose fault is it? It's ours. I can look back at my sons, and I can see 1,000 things that I did wrong. And it's not the world's fault. It's my fault. It's me. If I had been contending for the faith the way God has taught us to do, then I would have done things differently with my family. And folks, we're all guilty of that. We're all guilty of that. Instead of contending for the faith, we want to make excuses for the flesh, because that's what we're doing. You know, we're supposed to esteem one another. In other words, when I look over here at Brother Awesome Waddy, I am supposed to raise him as a brother in Christ. I'm not supposed to be saying, well, you know, Brother Osawati, I saw him over there, you know. I'm not supposed to be doing that. I'm supposed to be saying, he's a man of God. He's awesome. He's awesome, Waddy. That's what we're supposed to be doing, uplifting, esteeming one another above yourself. We're not supposed to be trying to tear down the Christian. We're supposed to be raising them up. Let me ask you a question. What did the Lord say to Paul on the road to Damascus? Saul, Saul, why thou persecuted me? And Saul didn't know what to say. Because see, in Saul's mind, who was he persecuting? Christians. But where does Jesus live? If you're born again, he lives right here. He's inside of you. So when you persecute a Christian, who are you persecuting? The Lord God. You're persecuting Christ. Do you understand when I push down Brother Oswaldy, do you understand I'm persecuting Jesus? That's right. That's what we're doing. Now, we have to take stands on things that are right and wrong. But still, we don't just throw people under the bus to be doing it, because we're not contending for the faith. We need every soldier that God's got. Amen. And we need them right now more than we've ever needed them. We need every soldier that God's got standing and contending for the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we don't do that, we're going to lose what we have. I was in a country week before last. Time goes by fast. Seemed like yesterday. In this nation, in all of its public schools and its private schools, guess what it teaches? The Bible. The Bible, a third world country, and is teaching the Holy King James Bible. You know, praise God. I thank God that they're doing that. But you know how bad it made me feel when I look back home? I'm like, here's a third world country, and they're teaching Jesus. And we can go back home in the greatest nation on the planet, and we're trying to kick Jesus out. Folks, we're kicking him out of our church. Don't think we're not. Read a book of Revelations. Read about the Laodicean church age. When he's writing his letter to the churches, he's writing to the churches. And the Laodicean church age is us. That's where we're at right now. And we can't do anything about the time that we live in. But we don't have to be part of the Laodicean church. We can be part of God's church without being Laodicean. And what I mean by that, if you go back and you read that, God said it makes him sick. Like the preacher always says, he says it makes him sick to his stomach that he spews him out of his mouth. And that's looking at the church. And he's, what does he say? I stand at the door and knock. He's talking to the church. Any man that come in and sup with me, I will sup with him. He's talking to the church. You understand what he's trying to tell us? There's lost people right here in our midst because they're not adhering to this doctrine right here. We're not contending for the faith. See, you and I need to come in here on Sunday mornings and get all that we can get from God, get all that we can get from his preaching. We need to uplift our preacher and praise God for everything he preaches on, no matter who's in that pulpit. Amen? That's what we need to be doing. And we need to be contending and lifting one another. Folks, if we don't do that, we're going to lose what God's given us. And it's precious to us, and we need to be hanging on to it. Amen? Well, our time's up. Praise God. We'll get the Sunday school count here, and we'll come back in just a few short minutes, and we'll have the preaching service. 905 in Sunday school this morning. That's pretty good. Praise God.